This is Tall Tales time. Legends of long ago, stories from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, a nobleman from France signs Nashville's guestbook. It's the story of the visit of Marie-Joseph Paul Roche-Yves Guibert Mortier, Marquis de Lafayette.
If it happened, and mind you, I'm not saying it did, but if two old Frenchmen of two famous old families had struck up a conversation away back there in 1830, this is the way that conversation might have sounded.
Tell me, my dear Marquis, do they still sleep three in a bed in Tennessee? I was there, you know, in 97.
No, sire. That is to say, I was given the best of accommodations. Your Majesty would be astounded. Quite astounded at the vast strides made by the United States in only a generation.
do not take umbrage. I recognize that your sentiment toward America is strong. The name of Lafayette is, I suspect, almost a magical one.
Oh, sire, you do me too much honor.
Do not deny it. As your king, as Louis-Philippe, King of France, I am proud of the honors come to you on your triumphal tour of America. When I was there, your General Washington was kindness itself, and the people were most obliging. But, since, as you admit, the nation was very young, well, the comforts of civilization were not plentiful. And it is quite true, my dear Marquis, on my visit to Tennessee, I slept three in one bed in a Cherokee chieftain's lodge. Quite true. Quite true. Still, it makes me probably the only monarch in Europe who has been entertained by Indians.
If Louis-Philippe had asked the Marquis de Lafayette what was his most memorable moment back there in 1825, when he made his triumphal tour of the United States, what do you think his answer would have been? I think I know. The Marquis would have said...
Well, the midnight when my boat went down on the bottom of the Ohio River, and I had to swim for shore.
As I went out one morning to breathe the morning air, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. As I went out one morning to breathe the morning air, I heard a dear old mother sing, oh, my daughter fair, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. You better go wash them dishes and hush that flattering tongue, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. You better go wash them dishes and hush that flattering tongue. You know you want to marry and that you are too young, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. Supposing I were willing, where would you get your man, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day? Supposing I were willing, where would you get your man? Why, Lordy mercy, mammy, I'd marry handsome Sam, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day.
The month of May, 1825, blew into Tennessee over fields green with corn and cotton and tobacco. The skies were brilliant. The song of the birds was a serenade to springtime. The whole world seemed to be humming a melody, except for some Tennessee gentlemen encamped on the riverbank south of Nashville's public square.
Say, when in tarnation we gonna get to home? I've got to set out an acre of tobacco. And I ain't gonna do it sitting on the bank of the Cumberland River waiting for his nobleness, the Marquis Lafayette.
Shh, shh,
don't shush me. I don't mind getting back into my soldiering coat, tight as it is, to present arms to his highness, but I don't relish waiting around the whole week. I don't care if his boat is holed up somewhere it's getting repaired. That ain't gonna explain to my old woman how come I ain't home setting out my tobacco. No, sir. It ain't gonna make her no easier to get along.
The state militia encampment, 4,000 men from across the whole of Tennessee, is only part of the big reception planned for the hero from France.
You know something? They got thousands, millions of flowers strung up over the streets, like archways. I didn't know there was so many flowers. and people. You can't get a room in Nashville for all the gold in King William's crown.
The eyes and thoughts of these thousands turn to the river at Nashville's doorstep. They are waiting for news from the steamboat bringing the Marquis de Lafayette down the Ohio River and up the Cumberland. And as they wait, many whose memories span a half century or more, they're thinking of the days when the Marquis was a youth and a hero of America's war for independence. A strain of music, a name from the past, a remembrance of stirring days, the days when the young Lafayette was riding at the side of General Washington.
Cornwallis led a country dance, the like was never seen, sir. Much retrograde and much advance, and all with General Greene, sir. They rambled up, they rambled down, join hands and off they run, sir. Of General Greene to Charlestown, the Earl of Wilmington, sir. Cornwallis soon forgets to play, his feet can't move no more, sir, and all his men now curse the day they jigged to our shore, sir. Now Tories all, what can you say? Cornwallis is no griper, but while your hopes are danced away, it's you that pay the piper.
Memories of lobster backs and Tories and the bitter winters that finally ended at Yorktown, where Lord Cornwallis surrendered his sword. Such memories belong to the past. In the crowd waiting for Lafayette are thousands to whom he is only a legend, a name, a survivor from the half-forgotten, turbulent days of the previous century.
He must be awful old, maybe even 60. He was a soldier before I was even born. What's going on? What's all this shouting about? Is it the steamboat with him aboard? Must be. There's the captain yelling, "Fall in!"
The Tennessee militia marches into the public square. A carriage drawn by 6 matched grays appears, and the 25,000 Tennesseans crowded into the streets set up a giant cheer.
It's General Jackson, Old Hickory himself, riding with Governor Carroll.
A flurry of activity down at the wharf. The shouts and sounds that mean a steamboat coming into a landing. And suddenly, there is the Marquis de Lafayette. He is a better than medium height, stout, no longer the dashing figure of almost 50 years ago. Age has its hand on him, but he walks briskly. He shakes hands with Governor William Carroll and with General Andrew Jackson. They are escorting him to the carriage. Now he is in full view of the crowd.
Yes, your majesty would be astounded, quite astounded at the vast strides made by the United States in only a generation. Sire, France is very old, America is very new. Far apart we are, these centuries, and a great ocean are between us. And yet, your majesty, America was cheering France when it cheered me, and its men of high office were saluting France when they saluted me. The steamboat carried me upriver to the home of General Andrew Jackson. There was a brace of pistols in a case. General Jackson saw me glance at them a second time. "Do you recognize them?" he asked me. I nodded my head. "I gave those pistols to General Washington in 1778. He put them in my hands. They were, in turn, given to me, General Jackson said, by a nephew of that great man. I returned the pistols to him. They have come to a fit resting place with you, sir," I said.
There was a ball to climax the Marquis de Lafayette's visit to Nashville, a gay and lively party, to which the women wore their very finest wide-skirted gowns and curtsied low to the gallant old Frenchman. The eyes of the guest of honor picked out a sturdy, gray-haired man. One of the men near Lafayette leaned over and whispered something in the Marquis's ear. "That is Timothy de Mumbrian, sir, a fellow countryman of yours, and well-known in Nashville. As a matter of fact, he might be called the father of this city." He was here long before any other white man. The visit of the old hero from France came to a close, and the voices of thousands of Nashvillians cheered him on his way. Somewhere in the crowd, a voice was lifted in song.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
I'm glad I didn't miss seeing the celebration. Glad they called up the militia for the occasion. He must have been some soldier, that Marcus Lafayette. Some soldier. You can tell by the way he walks, stiff and straight. Well, I've got plenty to tell the wife when I get home. Got a plenty to tell.
He traveled in the United States for almost a year, and a grateful nation sent him home with a handsome sum of its new coin, and he had plenty to tell of when he reached France again.
And then what happened? How came you to be shipwrecked?
Well, I will tell you. We were on the Ohio River. It was midnight of the 8th of May. The governor, Governor Carroll of Tennessee, had come with me. At that dark hour, we were most of us asleep. The bottom of the vessel was ripped open by a sandbar, and the vessel began to sink. Why, in only 10 minutes, the steamboat decks were beneath the water, and its passengers were swimming for safety in 20 feet of cold, black water.
And you, my dear Marquis, what of you?
Oh, I was quite adequately saved, sire. Except for the loss of my hat, some papers, and most of my luggage, I was unharmed.
Fortunate. A most happy rescue. You fought through one revolution, sir, and survived another. It would have been sadly ironic if you had been conquered by 20 feet of water.
Supposing he would slight you like you done him before, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. Supposing he would slight you like you done him before, why, Lord mercy, mammy, I'd marry 40 more, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. There's doctors and lawyers and men of high degree, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day. There's doctors and lawyers and men of high degree, and some of them wants to marry, and some will marry me, lolly-toodum, toodum, lolly-toodum day.
You have been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tonight you heard the story of the visit of the Marquis de Lafayette to Nashville in the year 1825. Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and comes to you every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice. In the cast of tonight's Tall Tales, the storyteller was John Murray. Charles Galbraith played Lafayette. Others in the cast were Bobby Weiner and Howard Pelham. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, Nashville, Tennessee.